Hey everybody, Jason here with PremierGuitar.com, and we're here with
Justin Derrico.
Justin Derrico, who played guitar for Pink and also played guitar for The Voice. Mm-hmm. And we're in Chicago before your show tonight, and you're going to walk us through the multitude of guitars and amps and all the toys that you brought out on this tour.
It's mostly for my ego. Mostly for my ego.
Of course. So why don't you pull out a guitar here and let's get started.
Cool. So I'll start. This is my main axe. So it's just nothing special, just a 2006 Gibson USA Les Paul standard. Broken headstock a few times. This is for my, my rock pose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't get any of that.
That's very important.
So we got that. This is a pretty cool guitar. It's a Strat Pro, custom shop. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
How much of the set would you play on your main guitar as opposed to one of these other ones?
I'd say for the main, like 80% of the show, mm-hmm. 75-80% of the show. Like this one, I need this because we do a cover, Wicked Game. Mm-hmm. And so, that's kind of the sound, yeah. It's a Strat and the whammy bar and stuff. So that one I use that for. This one I use for one song. It's the Brent Mason Tele, Valley Arts. And it's just because it's a little bit sweeter. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as aggressive as the Les Paul. And, it seems to fit in nicely on that song.
And this has a lot of different pickup and tonal combinations.
Yeah.
What setting would you use on this?
Well, I actually just have everything all the way up.
Okay.
Neck pickup. And I think this one blends this pickup in, and I've got it blended in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much stock. You haven't really.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what this guitar comes with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what strings are you using on all your guitars?
I'm using the Ernie Ball Cobalts, mm-hmm. and tens, mm-hmm. pretty much. And then let's see what else. This one's pretty cool. It's just a Relic. This one I just changed up because it just seems to sound. It's a little. This guitar is pretty aggressive. The main guitar. So this one's a little bit more, vintage sounding and lower output pickups. I use this on like one song, but I also use this guitar to warm up with because it just feels nice. And but this is actually this was a 2009 Les Paul Traditional, I guess, and I sent this to Bill Nash, and he reliced it for me.
Oh.
And he put these Air Nortons in here and just kind of, tore the neck up a little bit. And
looks very authentic.
Yeah, And he actually, this was actually a iced tea finish. So he refinished it and, did all his razor blade, things and stuff. But it actually came back playing better and sounding better.
That's good.
Yeah. Now this guitar I use for one song, but it's because it's tuned down a half step.
Okay.
So,
And what song do you use this for?
How Come You're Not Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she ended up changing the key. She brought it down a half step, so I kind of lost a lot of, the open voices and stuff. So I just decided to tune this one down. This one's got 11s on it. And this is just a straight-up custom shop. This one would be a backup to my main guitar, because one thing I didn't mention, my main's got a piezo pickup on it, which I use for a few songs in the set. So, if I ever... if that thing ever went down, this sounds pretty close to it, and and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty sexy.
That's what matters, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, do all of your Les Pauls have the rubber on the lower bout for your rock pose?
Yeah, well, you know what? We haven't gotten around to putting it on all of them, but no, pretty much just the main one, because that's the only one I really rip it on for the most part. And then this one is one that Gibson made for me. And this was the backup to this. This one's tuned down a half step as well. And this is just a custom shop. But the thing that's different is it's bird's eye.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, this guitar is pretty aggressive sounding as well. So.
So you find there's a definite kind of characteristics to each one of your Les Pauls.
Yeah, yeah. They're not just, that's kind of I find the beauty and the annoying factor with some of the Les Pauls. It's they're all very beautifully inconsistent, mm-hmm. I'd say,
right.
know. Which is cool, though, because it's different colors, you know, and they all feel relatively the same, mm-hmm. you know.
And we have a couple acoustics over here?
Yeah, and these are the Maiten acoustics. This one's a Messiah. I just, you know, like, I never heard of these, and, you know, we spend so much time down in Australia. The guys approached me with these, and I just plugged them in. They sounded awesome, mm-hmm. you know, because I've always had some trouble with, you know, getting the acoustics to sound good once you plug them in and all that. So these just right off the bat, I was like, damn, they feel good, they play good, and, you know, and Tommy Emmanuel plays these, so they you know, they've got to be good.
Yeah, right.
And this actually is a Tommy Emmanuel model. This one's kind of the backup, though. I've been using the Messiah for all the acoustic stuff, but they're pretty consistent, you know. There's not a ton of difference between these two guitars, but sound-wise, they're pretty consistent, you know.
Same Ernie Ball strings on these guitars as well?
These, I think, are Elixirs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what gauge?
12s. Yeah. That's I like to use, like, on acoustic stuff, I like to use Elixirs and stuff. They just seem to be a little bit brighter and, you know, mm-hmm. snappier and stuff.
And what wireless units are you using on your guitars?
These are, I believe, these are the Sennheiser wirelesses. Yeah. Yeah, because we were using wireless for my electric, but we were having some issues with it, and that we were using the Shure, but, like, the thrust is actually not that long, so I ended up just staying on a cable. Because if it's up to me, if I could stay on a cable, I'd much rather than a wireless.
All right, and then your next guitar boat over here, he says, kind of a lot of redundancy, from this one?
They're not quite the same guitars, because I don't have a lot of, these are my furry animals as well.
Oh, yes.
I don't really have, like, a lot of duplicates of guitars. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is like a, sorry, this would be my sort of answer to my Strat, because it's white. But no, this thing actually sounds pretty Strat-y. So, you know, again, with the bar and all that stuff. So if that thing were to, you know, break or something, then I, you know, this is what I'd probably go to.
And you mentioned before that, you know, having kind of backup guitar boats helps with routing and stuff. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, like when we go to Europe and, like, we'll do, like, stadiums and stuff, we'll have our gear leapfrogging and stuff. So, like, one, because, like, it's too far to travel or whatever. So, like, you know, I'll have the A rig at one gig, and at the next gig, I'll have this stuff will already be there waiting for them to get there and set up. This and the B rig. But for right now, you know, we don't really need to do that, but it's out here, so we're just kind of, we're out for the entire year, basically, so it sort of has to travel with us. But Pink actually likes to make fun of me in the middle of the show and tell everybody how I've got about 57 guitars, and I've got 20 guitars out with me, and I only use one, or they all sound the same, but she's kind of right.
All right, let's walk over and look at your amp and pedal rig. So here we have a pedal board that's exactly like what you have on stage. Mm-hmm. So your tech kind of basically runs this for you. So explain to us a little bit about why you have two of the exact pedal boards and walk us through kind of how all this works.
Well, basically, actually, this is the B-Rig pedal board. I've got two separate, they're both identical, but I have two separate rigs. And the reason is if something was to ever go down on, like, the A-Rig, instead of sitting there trying to figure out, oh, what's wrong? Is it a cable? Is it this or that? All he has to do is grab my speaker cables, pull them out, put them into the B-Rig, and then we're up and running. Throw me this pedal board, and we're up and running. If anything were to happen, you know, it would be a simple move instead of sitting there, him coming out and trying to unplug things and do that stuff. Because, you know, the show is kind of pretty fast-paced, and like, we don't really have time for that. But he actually has a board back here. Where he doesn't, you know, like some songs he'll do some of my pedal changes. Like if I'm doing something or if I'm way out there, you know, he'll do the changes for me.
So walk us through some of the controls you have here on this pedal.
I've got the whole set programmed. And the way I kind of been programming stuff is like I'll do the verse, you know, in this instance there's no pre-chorus, there's verse, chorus, and then I'll have a couple, this is the Friedman. You know, I'll have a couple lead sounds if I have empty banks, I'll just kind of put in like lead sounds or whatever. See, this one's something where I've got the verse, the pre-chorus, chorus, and then like a lead. Because sometimes, you know, like you never know, like for like if they want to extend stuff, you know, that's kind of like some stuff that like, I'll do on the fly. And like a lot of times I'll just take long solos and stuff. And then all this other stuff is all instant access. So like, if I ever want to like just be on a, like a dirty sound and I want to add in the chorus, I can just add in the chorus, or I can add in the compressor, or you know, so on and so on. But that's pretty much it. I mean, the thing, I used to be an analog guy, like all my pedals on the floor, but it got to be such a drag because I was doing all this, you know, like the Nashville hopscotch all night long. And it just got really hard. And some of these changes, man, I like on this record, I don't think that I could have
done
it manually. Yeah, like actually the programming has really helped. But
so this controls pedals,
yep.
Channel amps, everything.
Yep. And basically, I'll program it, like, you know, I'll assign an amp and the effects to each program, basically. And then the other thing I've got that's like, this is my, both volume pedals, right? So this one is for the effects loop of the Friedman, because, like, that one's, like, I'll do, like, a lot of swells and stuff with that, and you still have all your full gain, you know, when it's in the loop. This one's in front of the amp, so that one works for both of them. You know, and that one's also nice to be able to back it off to ease off some of the gain or whatever. And then this is a tap tempo that Dave made for me. It's like a, you know, it was like a noise suppressor pedal or something like that. This is a piezo, this custom box that he made. So like when I step on that, it basically, my cable's a stereo cable. Mm-hmm. So when I step on that, it switches to the other side and it cuts off my rig. Mm-hmm. And so then they're just getting straight to front of house, which is coming from that, which is the preamp for the piezo pickup.
You got a wall over here?
Yep, and that's a Crybaby 535Q. And, you know.
You like the adjustable?
You know, I like, it's not necessarily the adjustable thing, because I actually don't really use the adjustable thing that much. I like the sweep on these better. For some reason, I feel like I keep it on the higher one, or the highest one, so basically the but for whatever reason the sweep's a little bit more drastic than it is on some of the classics, I think. But all wahs, they're all a little pretty inconsistent, you know, they all sound a little different.
All right, so here you are with your A rig. Why don't you walk us through kind of the pedals and the amp heads and what you use them for?
All right, cool. All this stuff, except for this, is all in front of the amp. I like to put my delays in the loops because I use the amp distortion. It just seems to sound better, you know, for what I do. But basically, you know, I got the Octron, which is a pretty cool, like, Octiva sort of thing. You get an octave above and below. And it's kind of like a nasty, fuzzy, snarly Jimi Hendrix kind of thing I use for leads sometimes. This is the badass OD. And the way I've got this thing running, it's kind of like a lo-fi. You got this 100 hertz knob, and I dial it back, so it's kind of like a lo-fi, kind of crappy radioed out sound. I use that in a couple tunes. This thing is really great. It's pretty, like, super transparent. You know, I'm using it more as a boost, but it gives me a little bit of grit, which is, you know, which is pretty nice. And then the Bogner, this is the blue Ecstasy pedal, which is supposed to, you know, replicate the blue channel, which is kind of like the famous Ecstasy sound. Because all my amps, I run really high gain. So this stuff I kind of run, I'm running it pretty low gain just to kind of get like an overdriven kind of like, you know, more vintage sounding thing. And then we got the Wampler Ego, which Brent Mason turned me on to. I use that quite a bit, especially like for clean stuff. And you notice how I got the tone dialed like all the way up. It's just nice because it brightens the whole thing up, you know, makes everything cut real nice. Like this is something I use on Wicked Game, which is, you know, it just sounds really good. With the Strat, gives it a little bit of a boost.
On your delays, are you using kind of one delay sound, or you have a couple programmed in?
Well, I've got a few things going on. This is, you know, the SDE 3000. You know, they stopped making these actually, but they're great delay units. The only thing is that they're not tap tempo, or they have it in there, but it doesn't work quite the way I'd like it to. But so this one I've got it dialed up as a slapback, you know, which is kind of, you know, a little sacrilegious for how great the delays are on this thing. If I really took the time to kind of program some of the time in, it would be a little bit better, but I'm pretty lazy. But this, yes, I'm using like one delay sound for this. And then I've also got another one of these in the back of this rack that's in the loop of the Shiva, the Bogner. That one I use for A lot of those I'm using for like lead sounds mostly, you know. And then this is my my other drawer. So you see I got the M5. This I've been using for like a lot of reverbs. I've been using the plate, and then there's another one. This thing, the Octoverb or whatever, it's like kind of like a really cool sort of spacey, really weird sort of cavernous reverb that I use on a couple songs. And then this, you know, it's your Deja vibe, your kind of Univibe sound or whatever. Phase 90, I actually haven't been using that pedal a whole lot. When I designed this rig, I designed it to get every possible sound I could possibly get, you know, because when I was doing the voice, I had to kind of, you know, accommodate for different styles of music. I put this tuner in line because it's a mute, because at the top of the show when the rig's full on, my first sound's really like high gain and super, you know, it's a little buzzy and noisy. So we just put that in there to kind of shut everything up. Then, you know, you got the Boss Flanger, which is a great pedal. This I use for one song. I use it for So What, the top of the song. The reason I use this is because when they recorded it, they used, like, you know, guitar and then octave below, octave above. And so this one tracks really nicely and just sounds, you know, beefy and cool. So.
And it's small.
And it's tiny, yeah. Because I got a lot of stuff. The other thing that I've got going on in the back, which you can't really see in the back of the rack because I ran out of space, I've got a Boss CE2 chorus pedal, which they stopped making. I guess they were making them in the 80s for a while, but those are awesome. But all my chorus stuff, that's what I've been using.
All right, now below this we have a couple amps here. Now, overall, how does this rig, obviously it's bigger than what you would use on the voice, but how does this rig kind of compare to what you would use on the voice?
Well, actually, I sort of designed this when I was doing the voice. Like I said, because I was trying to be able to accommodate for as many different styles. Mm-hmm. Some things I've changed since I did the voice to cater to just to this gig, you know. Like I had an Arion chorus pedal, and like I wasn't really using it so much on this. So that's where I threw in that tuner. And then this is my amp switcher that Dave Friedman made to switch between the two heads. So the top is a Bogner Shiva, which has sort of been my staple sound for the last 8-10 years almost. Mm-hmm. Dave Friedman built this rig for me, and I played through one of his amps and was just kind of blown away. So I've been kind of going back and forth between these on like rhythm sounds, lead sounds, between the two of them. But the cool thing about the Friedman, which I really like, is the clean sound. I got him to make me like a sort of a Fender clean sound, and then the other side's like a nasty Marshall dirty sound. But, you know, like you're always looking for that in an amp and you never quite find it. And I feel like this one, you know, like right. He kind of nailed it on that one. And on the clean channel on the Shiva, it's great, but it breaks up nicely, which is cool for other stuff. But when you need like real sparkly clean stuff, it's yeah.
And so the Friedman, is this a pretty much a custom model, or is this based off one of his existing models?
It's based off of one of his existing models, the Brown Eye, or the Harry Brown Eye or whatever, which is a great name, by the way. But yeah, the only thing he changed was the clean channel, because the clean channel on the stock one is more of a Vox AC30 kind of broken up thing, which is kind of what I can get, not so much like a Vox out of this thing, but, you know, it's right. Broken up and it's sort of in that league, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, both of them are awesome. I pretty much, like I said, I'm like 50-50 on a lot of my patches. I'll have, like on this one, for instance, like when I go to a lead sound, like some nights I'm feeling different things. So if I go to a lead, that's the lead Shiva, or that's the lead Friedman, you know? So if I'm feeling like, I feel like more like the Friedman tonight, you know?
Right, right.
'Cause they both respond a little differently, so. But yeah, so I've been going back and forth between both of them quite a bit throughout the show, so it's fun. It keeps it interesting, you know?
And the Bogner combo you have here, what do you use that for?
That is actually for my tech. It's sort of a monitor for him, and I don't know how he's got it hooked up in here. He's got some crazy friggin' science project going on back behind it. But he has in-ears as well, but sometimes like a lot of the crew guys, like the monitor guys, the front of house guys, are talking back and forth between each other throughout the show. So it drives him nuts. So he just wants to hear straight up guitar.
Right.
So he's got this wide end somehow.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you also, so you have a couple cabs on stage.
Yeah.
Then you have a couple cabs underneath.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about how that kind of works for you and using those cabs as monitors, and then how you're using this other stack of amps here above your B-Rig.
Well, for me, the solution to being quieter on stage was adding more shit, basically. And so we got the cabinets underneath stage so I can, you know, crank my amps, you know, to where the tubes are cooking and I get a sound I'm happy with. So they mic those up, and that's what front of house is getting, that's what monitor guy's getting. And then this is just, these heads are just for, I'm just using the power section of these heads that are powering my speaker cabinets on stage. And those are basically, he's sending the signal from the cabinets below to those. So they're basically like glorified monitors, you know. But she likes to feel, Pink, you know, she likes to feel the weight of the guitar on stage, but sometimes it's too loud. And I can't, you know, throughout a gig, I can't just go up and turn up and down, you know, drive front of house nuts and mess up everybody's mix. Right. So on stage wise, the monitor guy has control of that. So, you know, and it sounds pretty relatively close to what you're getting out of my speaker cabinets, but you know, it's always trying to, you know, get the perfect solution. Sure. You know, it's always a struggle.
Excellent. Well, are there any other, so we've gone over your pedal board, your amp, how you hook everything up. Is there any other kind of tone secrets that you use on this gig that you want to let out of the bag?
I mean, my stuff's pretty like, I mean, as elaborate as it all is. It's pretty cut and dry. You know, the only thing that I do that, I don't know, it took me a while to get hip to when I was younger, trying to like messing with delays and distortions and stuff. It's like, you always kind of got to, like, if you put them in different places in line, it's going to sound different. Like if you put the, like I put all my delays in the loops because I use the amps distortion. But if I was using a distortion pedal, maybe I wouldn't put it in the loop. I'd put it in front and put a distortion pedal in front of it or whatever. But yeah, as far as secrets, man, I think my biggest secret is my CE2. I mean, that thing is pretty badass. And, you know, it's not that common these days. A lot of people don't know about it. And that's pretty much it, man.
Oh, what picks do you use?
I use these Jazz 3s. These little tiny dudes.
They're not pink, though.
They're not pink. They're red.
You should totally hook you up with pink Jazz 3s.
You know, I would totally rock that shit. It's funny. A lot of people are always asking for picks. They're like, oh, can I have a pick? I give them this. And they're like...
Oh,
doesn't say my name. But anyways, and then I use for acoustics. I like to use these, just because they sound a little bit. These get a little clanky, you know, a little clicky on acoustics. So these are a little nicer.
A little more give to them.
Yeah, a little more. These are a little thinner too. A little, you know, because I'm doing a lot of just strumming. It's not like I'm doing a lot of picking really, but. You know, these I just got over the years, just kind of got used to them. So when I pick up these and try and, you know, pick real fast, it's like, you know, it's like a little sloppy.
Excellent. So where, so you're going to be on tour with Pink for the rest of the year.
Yep.
So where else can people go online to find out about what you're doing and where to come check you out?
You go to www.justinderico.com. Catch me on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. I'm not on Facebook. I think some stuff that I do on my Twitter goes onto my Facebook, but I'm hardly on Facebook. So Twitter is kind of where I'm at, you know.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for letting us check out your stuff.
Dude, thanks. Good to see you guys,
see
man.
You. Hey, everyone. Jason here with Premier Guitar, and we are here with Eva Gardner, bassist for Pink. And she's going to walk us through her simple but useful and effective rig that you use on the road. So let's pull out one of your basses here and tell us a little bit about it.
This is my main bass here. This is actually a signature model. This is my design that the Fender Custom Shop made for me. It's got a lot of vintage specs, like vintage style frets. It's got vintage tuning pegs down here. Not reverse though. I've got sort of custom pickups in here, custom bridge, and my tattoo artwork, which is right here. It's the ship on my arm. Right here. And in the 12th fret here, I've got kind of a special little mother of pearl inlay, which is this tattoo I've got right here. It's just kind of a conglomeration of all of the basses that I played over the years and all the things that I like about all of them, while being of sort of a classic precision. Right. For me, it's like why reinvent the wheel? And it's good and solid, and I absolutely love it. And Fender is actually creating, it's in production right now, signature model. So this is kind of the prototype.
And what gauge strings are you using on these?
I'm using standard gauge. I use Rotosound. So it's just standard standard gauge, long scale. And same thing, Rotosound, why mess with a good thing? They were the first company to do round wound strings. And my dad used them. I use them. My dad used Precisions. I use Precisions. So all my gears, pretty much, I'm second generation.
So did he just like hand some stuff down to you and you got used to playing it and you're like, oh.
I mean, he was like the reason why, he's the reason I play bass. Uh-huh. So when I was growing up, I was like, that is the ultimate gear. I love all of it. And it was just kind of, for me, it was just how you did it, basically. It sounded great and it looked great. And it just felt natural for me to sort of follow suit, you know?
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so how much of the show do you use this bass for?
I use this bass for the whole show except for one song where I've got to, I'm tuned down to E flat. Uh-huh. So I have another fun bass here. And then my spare is just another Precision. So the custom shop was kind enough to give me this bass here. It's called a Baracho bass.
Oh, wow.
And it's, they only made 60 of these. So when I went to go pick up my bass, they were like, hey, check this out. Want one? And I was like, yeah. So it's kind of fun. It's a reverse Jazzmaster body, and they've got a TV Jones pickup in it, and just sort of fun vintage looking style to it, and it's a lot of fun to play. It's got like the Telecaster head, mm-hmm. and sort of vintage looking machine heads, and it's relic, it's kind of a relic job, so it just kind of looks fun. It's something different. And
what song you say you play this on?
I play this on How Come You're Not Here, again, because it's in a different tuning, so yeah. So that's kind of the second bass that I use.
And you said right now all your amps are kind of buried up on stage.
Yeah.
But tell us about what amps you're using and what pedals you have on your board.
Okay. I use Ampeg amps. And same thing, Dad used them. They're solid. They're awesome. They're old school. I like to keep it old school. and I use the A10 SVT cabinet. And for the road, I use the SVT 2 Pro. Heads, they're all tube, just like the vintage heads. I have a vintage one at home, but I can't really tour with it. So they're all tube, but they've got the sort of that tone that I really love, that warm, yummy tube tone. Just some more bells and whistles. It's got a graphic EQ. It's rack mountable, which is great for the road. They had, you know, I have two of them, so they just kind of stack them in a rack. And yeah, so that's the amp that I use, straight up, pretty simple.
And you do a combination of mic and direct signal as well?
Yeah, we do a combo with that. But everything, I don't have an amp on stage. It's mostly a clean stage we've got this run. So besides Justin's couple cabinets, I think he might have showed you up there, all my stuff's below the stage or behind me for the air, like cabinets behind me, so it pushes some air out. It's pretty straight up.
And then for pedals, just have a few?
For pedals, all I'm using right now is a turbo rat for like four or five songs, I think I've got.
Is that for a boost or solos or?
It's just for tone, mostly choruses. It's what was on the records. So for this gig, I pretty much reproduce whatever, you know, whatever's on the record. If a song's played with a pick, I'll use a pick. You know, I use mostly my fingers, but same thing with distortion. If there's distortion on a chorus or something like that, that's what they want to hear. So.
And what types of picks are you using?
I use Dunlops, 1mm, the black ones. But for this run, in promo, I used a pick for a song. But for this set, there's nothing requiring a pick. So it's all here. It's all in the fingers.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'll let you get back to yoga.
Okay. Thank you. Another very important part, touring. Got to make sure you're limber.
Limber.
Yeah.
This is Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com.
Thanks, guys.